Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 112 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report, 2008 in Review, when we come back. You know, when you're making $50,000 a year, you're paying $7,650 in Social Security taxes. Then you have to pay a 17% income tax on that same $50,000. Now, that's another $8,500. And when you finish paying these two taxes, you've just paid an extra $1,300 by paying your tax on a tax. And that makes the real effective Social Security tax rate 17.8%. It's not the 15.3% that's being advertised. Now, isn't that just real special? Now, if you'd like more information about tax and status, why don't you call us here at the law school. The number's 417-273-4967. Help take a bite out of crime. Call and ask for our free general law CD package. It's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, and best of all, it's free. Now, that number to call, again, is 417-273-4967. Now, our tax and status school is available on compact disc for adult home education. And if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Just click on email and then send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Why don't you do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget? All right, we're talking about the year 2008 in review. The most important news story of the year, of course, is the economic collapse. I'm going to use the word collapse because we're headed into a Great Depression number two. We had Great Depression number one back in the early 1930s. That's what it's been branded, the Great Depression. I brought to your attention here recently that the most severe depression, if we use the word depression in conjunction with living standards, the greatest period of depression that we've ever experienced here in the United States was from 1942 to 1946, and nobody brands that period of time as depression. It's called the World War II period. But you see, from 1929 to 1933, the per capita consumption of butter went up. That's right, butter. Not the artificial spread margarine, but butter. Now, if we use the term depression to connote a lowering of living standards, then 1929 to 1933 was not a depression by any stretch of the imagination. So how do you like that? Now, if you want to take a look at living standards and the loss of living standard, the biggest period, again, was 1942 to 1946, and it's followed by the period 1973 through 2008. We have actually suffered in that 30-year period, from 1970 to about 2000, 30-year period there. And if we want to add two more years to it, to the year 2010, that's a 40-year period. Over the past 40 years, or close to it, we have suffered the second largest living standard decline in our history. And nobody has said that the period through the 70s, 80s, and 90s now was depression, now, did they? And that's because we don't count correctly. We're not factoring in inflation. Inflation is something that Americans don't know how to factor in. So let's take a look at this thing called inflation through the view or review of 2008 in a subject here called backwardation. And it's an odd word. I'd never seen this word until just recently. James Turk wrote an article here on backwardation. There's a period now called backwardation that's going on right now. It started on December the 8th, 2008. You've probably never heard that word either, and you probably don't know what that means, but it's a very, very important term. I didn't know how important it was until I read the article here, so I'm going to review this. This is one of the big news stories of the year 2008, and you probably don't even know how to pronounce the word or spell it. But Turk starts off this way. He says, over the past few weeks, there have been a lot of articles on the Internet about backwardation. It's spelled B-A-C-K-W-A-R-D-A-T-I-O-N. It's an economic term. For example, when the price of commodities for delivery today is higher than the price of commodities for delivery in the future. That's what backwardation is. See, ordinarily, the price of a product goes up or down for future delivery. It may be in a bear market or it may be in a bull market. Bull means that the price is going up. Bear means the price is going down. But you buy futures for future delivery. So let's suppose we wanted to buy gold for future delivery, say in February, March, April, May. You can buy these futures contracts. And you pay it for that futures contract. But you don't pay the whole thing today. See, you buy it on what they call margin. So if you wanted to buy, let's say, 1,000 ounces of gold at $800 an ounce, you don't put up $800,000. You only put up $200,000. So you put up about 25%. It used to be 10%, but they've been raising the margins here of late. And so you put up $200,000. You buy $800,000 worth of gold for delivery, let's say, next June. Now, that's called a futures contract. Now, suppose the price of gold goes up to $810 an ounce. Well, shucks, you just made a $10,000 profit. Now, you're not in possession of this gold. You've never seen it, never touched it, and all you did was buy a contract. You got a piece of paper, and you wrote a check. That's just another piece of paper. This is the way the markets work. They work on pieces of paper. Nobody ever takes physical delivery of the copper or the zinc or the iron ore or the gold or the silver. That's all handled, you know, by big companies and big warehouses and in places that are far, far away and once upon a time. But yeah, you just made a $10,000 profit. Now, suppose the price of gold goes down, though, to $790. Well, now you just lost $10,000. So what your commodity futures broker is going to do, he's going to write you a letter, and he's going to say, the price of gold went down, and you got a margin call. And you have to send us that $10,000 right now. And if you don't send us that $10,000, then you're going to forfeit your $200,000. So in order to protect your $200,000, you know, margin, and then you're going to send them the $10,000. Okay, so now you're in this thing, $210,000. Price of gold goes down again to $780. Then they send you another letter, send us another $10,000. Now, on the other hand, if the price of gold goes up, you know, let's be bullish about this, it goes up to $810, $820, $830, $840. So between now and next June, the price of gold goes from $810 to $850. Okay, well, you never had to put up any more margin calls. You didn't have to put up another dime. You put up $200,000, and the price of gold went up by $50 an ounce. Now, see, you bought 1,000 ounces, and see, you got this $50 profit on this $1,000 ounce. You made a $50,000 profit. See how that works? You made a $50,000 profit, and you never touched this gold. You wrote a check for $200,000. And you just made a 25% profit in 6 months on a piece of paper. That's what futures trading is all about. And people do that, and they make a lot of money, and sometimes they lose a lot of money. But anyway, that's the way that game is played. Now, this thing called backwardation comes into play here. When the price of commodities for delivery today is higher than the price of commodities for delivery in the future, and like nearly all things on the Internet, most of what was written is useful, but some of it's total rubbish, and it takes time to sort through to find the gems from the rest. So I want to offer the following in the hope that it clears up some of the confusion that has arisen about backwardation, as well as to provide some insight into today's gold market. Backwardations are no big deal in most commodities, but they are indeed a very big deal for gold. And since I started following gold back in the 1970s, I can recall seeing a gold backwardation against the U.S. dollar only 3 times. Now, fortunately, we can pinpoint the exact dates from data made available by the London Bullion Market Association, which regularly posts the gold forward interest rate at its website. And this is called the GOFO rate. It's called gold forward interest rate at its website. Now, the first occurrence was on November 29, 1995, and that backwardation lasted for 1 day, and it was probably the result of a hedge buyback by Barrick Gold completed then. One was announced by Barrick Gold shortly thereafter. Now, the next occurrence lasted for 2 days. It was on September the 29th and 30th, 1999, after several central banks announced the Washington Agreement on Gold. And that accord set off a mad rush for physical gold to cover short positions in the wake of the price surge triggered by their announcement. Let me pause there for a moment. A short position. That's when you buy, you call your broker, and you want to short a stock or you want to short something. That means that you believe that the price is going to go down. And you could buy gold futures and bet that the price is going to go up, or you could short gold and bet that the price is going to go down. These markets are really a gambling casino, is what they really boil down to. I prefer a crap table because you can get a decision on your bet in about 30 seconds. See, you walk up to the crap table, and you got money in your hand, and you're watching the players around the table, and they got two little cubes, two little square dice, they call them, and they've got numbers written on them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and you got two of them. And you throw them down the length of this table, you see, and then two numbers come up. It could be a 6 and a 1, that'd be a 7. Okay, that means you win. So let's try it. You walk up to the crap table and you put $20 on the pass line. You throw the dice and a 7 comes up, and the nice man over there called the croupier, he just pushes over $20 to you, and now you got 40. See how easy that is? And it takes about 30 seconds. The thing I don't care too much about on the stock market and these various gold markets and so on is that you takes a lot of time. It takes months and months. It can take 6 months for you to get a decision on your bet. And, you know, of course, if you're a big high roller and you're betting $200,000, you know, maybe 6 months is in a reasonable time, I don't know. But anyway, the moral of the story is that that's a second backwardation over there, and that's what these futures are all about. I mean, you're actually betting. It's a casino. These markets are really casinos. And so you people that are investing in the stock market, you're actually gambling on the future value of those stocks. Now, for most of you people out there that have been gambling in stocks, you've just lost your bet. And the last time I looked around the world, we've lost about $40 trillion. Everybody in the world knows lost $40 trillion in the year 2008. That's about the equivalent of all of the goods and services that are traded worldwide by everybody in the world for one whole year. So put another way, it would be like you betting your entire year's wages on one event and then losing. That's what that boils down to. All right. Now, this backwardation occurred a third time. The last occurrence lasted for 2 days. That was on September the 29th and 30th, 1999. Excuse me. That was the second one. The third occurrence happened just last month. And it happened for three business days, November the 20th, 21st, and November the 24th. And there was not any apparent event triggering this latest backwardation as there was with the two previous occurrences. But it probably reflects the exceptionally strong demand recently for the physical metal. Now, I don't know if you people out there, most of you are probably not buying much in the way of gold and silver, but a phenomenon has just taken place, oh, I'd say since about September, maybe August. Remember when the Olympics ended in August? Things were all right. In September, an event took place, a strange event. Gold and silver coin came into short supply. And what that means is that you call your broker and you say, Bob, I'd like to buy 10 ounces of gold. And he says, well, okay, send me your money. And you say, well, when can I take delivery? And he says, well, I don't know. Got that? I don't know. Now, right now, you send your money to your broker and he tells you it's about 30 to 60 days. I got a student here the other day, sent $1,300 to a broker about 3 months ago, and he still hasn't got his order, which is pretty normal right now. Now, there is gold and silver out there, and it is being bought, sold, and traded, but there is a greater demand for gold and silver than there is supply. Now, here's the strange part. Ordinarily, when you have a short supply, that is something that's hard to come by, the price goes up. But in the case of gold, the price has gone down. So if you look at last March of 2008, the price of gold went over $1,000 an ounce. Today, as I speak, it's around $800. So it's gone down $200 an ounce, but when you call your broker and you want delivery, you can't get it for 2 months. Isn't that just special? See? Right away, now that tells you something ain't right there. Now, you might not know what isn't right, but, you know, something ain't gelling just right there. Because if it's in short supply, it should be $1,000, $1,200, $1,500. And if it's in abundant supply, then the price goes down because there's so many sellers out there. And that's what we've been witnessing over the last 90 days. The reason that copper went from $3 down to a buck and a half is because people that have the copper are out selling it. And there are so many sellers out there in the market. I mean, people selling this copper in the marketplace that the bottom just fell out of it. Well, let's try it. You got 10 people in a trading group over here, they all own some copper and gold and silver and zinc and various commodities. And all of a sudden, all 10 of them simultaneously want to sell their copper. Now, you've got copper, but you've just announced to the other 9 players in the game that you want to sell your copper. The other 9 players in the game all announced to you that they want to sell their copper. So how many buyers do we have? We have 0 buyers and 10 sellers. What happens to the price of copper? It just disintegrates. It goes into what we call free fall. There's no bottom to it. There's no number. There's no bids. There's nobody that wants your copper. All right, so now there's 3 big markets in the world. The 3 biggest markets in the world are gold, currency, and oil. I think gold is number 3, if I remember right. Currency is the biggest market in the world. They trade $1 trillion a day. I mean, it's big. And then comes oil. And oil's big because, that trades, maybe $1 trillion a day. I don't know how much it is, but it's a bunch. And then comes the gold market, and it's called the London Metals Market, LM something or other, London Gold Metal Market. And they sell about $10 billion of gold a day. Now, that's $3 trillion a year. It's a bunch. Gold is a big, big item that's bought and sold and traded, every day of the week. And when this gold goes into backwardation, that is when there's a change now for the average truck driver out there, if you're like me, this backwardation doesn't mean a hell of a lot. But I want to take a moment and explain it to you because this is the third largest market in the world. And it's going through a shock. And the shock is there's a shortage of the product and the price is going down. A shortage of the product and the price is going down. Now, that tells you something. You might be sitting there saying, well, so what? It doesn't affect me because I don't have any gold. Oh, yeah, it's going to affect you and me and everybody. Everybody's going to be affected by this because all of us are affected by the overall market conditions around the world. When the stock market in Japan goes down, you're sitting over here saying, big deal. But the Japanese run the second or third largest economy in the world. And what happens over in Japan is going to affect General Motors. And what affects General Motors is going to affect all of us. You know, like it or lump it, that's the way the game is played. Now, you may be unemployed, and you may be unemployed because of this backwardation, and you didn't even know how to spell it. Never even heard the term until I told you. And that may be the cause of you being out of a job right now, or the fact that you're going to lose your job, of which about 40% of us are going to lose our jobs in 2009. The unemployment rate should hit around 30 to 40% here in 2009. And this backwardation over here is going to have a big, big role in that. Maybe bigger than we thought it was. All right, so going back here to November the 20th, 21st, and 24th, there are only three times that gold. Now, backwardation is not a phenomenon when we're talking about copper and zinc. But in the history of the world, it's only happened three times to gold. And those three times have been in relatively modern times, 1995, 1999, and 2008. Now, we can reasonably conclude from the above observations that gold rarely trades in backwardation. It almost always trades in contango. Contango. God, there's another word. I'm going to underline that. I never heard that word either, contango, backwardation. So, I don't want to lose you here, but you're about to lose your job, Bob. Bob, you're going to join the ranks of that 40% now that are unemployed because of these two words, contango and backwardation, in the year 2009. So, if you're working today, driving down the road in your big rig now, pay attention. Something big now is about to transpire. And I didn't get this from Katie Couric because she ain't got a clue. Now, gold is money. Gold is money. And the price for delivery today, when it's lower than the price for delivery in the future, something's unusual here. Therefore, gold is a very different item from other commodities, all of which frequently trade in backwardation. So why is gold different? Why is it that gold doesn't trade in backwardation, but zinc does? And that's because gold is money. In other words, gold's usefulness does not arise from its consumption, but rather from its accumulation. In contrast to all other commodities, gold does not get used up and consumed in its applications. Rather, gold is hoarded, or as I like to say it, because it is money, gold is saved. Gold sits in vaults all over the world. If you have some gold right now, if you have some gold, you've got it stuck away in a safe deposit box. You've got it stuck away buried in a hole in the ground someplace. You're not out there using it. Now, it is true that gold is used for electronics and gold is used for jewelry, and some of it's actually used, but most of the gold in the world is hoarded. Now, that's a very vital difference. Gold is money. In fact, it is such an important part of money and trade and transactions that it trades at the rate of $10 billion a day. And that's just in one market. That's in London. This gold is also being traded in Tokyo, San Francisco, Singapore, New York, Moscow. The biggest market for gold is in London. It's called the London Metals Market, $10 billion a day. But this gold over here, now this is a big item over here, and it's about the third biggest market in the world. You know, it isn't the biggest. It isn't, you know, number one, but it's big. It's big. And it's bigger than most other markets. It's bigger than the stock market in New York. It's bigger than any stock market in the world. And yet, when you're watching the news at night, Brian Williams, he'll tell you what the Dow Jones Industrial Average is, but he doesn't tell you anything about gold. Not a word. You haven't heard Brian Williams, Katie Couric, or Charlie Gibson say a word about gold. You don't know. They don't talk about it. They'll talk about oil, and they'll talk about currency once in a while, not often. But they never talk about gold. Never. Boy, that's one word that we don't use. That's like the F word. We don't talk about that. Gold. The G word. Now, gold, therefore, contrasts to all other commodities because it has a huge above-ground stock of inventory, and that is available to come back into the market in exchange for national currency, you know, if the price is right. This above-ground stock is comprised of essentially all the gold mined throughout history. Other commodities have very little above-ground stock relative to the amount consumed, with the result that the shortages in other commodities can and do occur. There is, from time to time, a shortage in uranium or a shortage in copper. And so they go out and they crank things up and they go mine more copper or mine more uranium. Now, let's think about this for a second. The thing that makes this gold different is that it's not used up and consumed. It's hoarded. It's stored in warehouses. It's a money metal. Now, you're not using it for money. You should, but you're not. But you can rest assured that the powers that be use it for money at the rate of $10 billion a day. And that's just in the London metal market, which is the biggest in the world. And it's $3 trillion a year. It's the third biggest market in the world. And this gold market out there affects all of us, whether we like it or not. And there's a phenomenon going on. Now, earlier in the year, prior to the Olympics, when you called your broker and you said, send me 10 ounces of gold, he'd have it in the mail to you. Today, you call your broker and tell him you want 10 ounces of gold, and he can't get it for you. He doesn't have it and can't get it. Same thing with silver. It's also a monetary metal, but it's a little different. The silver market's a little bit different than gold. But essentially, when God created the heavens and the earth, on planet Earth, he put two very desirable metals into the crust, gold and silver. And he put 17 times more silver into the earth's crust than gold. And then he gave us some instructions. Thou shalt not steal, and you shall not have an unjust weight or balance in your bag. And then he set us out into the marketplace to buy, sell, and trade. And when we use gold and silver, we make a lot of wealth. And when we use paper money, we have a lot of poverty. Bad economic conditions. It's always been that way. It's been that way for thousands of years. And for some reason, we keep going back to fiat currencies. We just love paper money and banks and interest and usury. Just, I don't know why, but it's never made us a dime. It costs us everything that we've got about every 75 years. It wipes us out. And we keep going back to it and going back to it. We go back to paper money like a moth goes back to a light. They're going to beat their brains out and kill themselves on this light, but they just can't. It's irresistible. They just can't stay away from it. Human beings cannot stay away from paper money any more than a moth can stay away from a light. It's the way life is. I didn't make it that way. I'm just reporting on it. So we're talking about 2008 in review, and we're talking about backwardation and contango, two words that you've never heard. But in the year 2009, they're going to put you in the breadlines. Bob, you're going to be one of those 40 people out of 100 unemployed in 2009 because of backwardation and contango, and you probably can't spell either one. Well, hang on, and we'll tell you more when we come back. But let me give you a reminder here to satisfy the FCC around the world. The FCCs are very important people. Everyone get to page 2. Here we go. And remind you that you are listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. Now, for more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, nonprofit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact desk, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, all of which can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. And all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. And the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we endorse are necessarily going to reciprocate. And we should keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine, they're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about the year 2008. The big news story of 2008, of course, is the collapse of the world's economy, which is going to affect all of us, whether we like it or not. And it's going to affect about 40% of us, 30 to 40%, in the year 2009 with unemployment. Now, most people are expecting a turnaround in the economy. They're expecting deflation. That's what we're being programmed for. We're not going to suffer from deflation. We're going to suffer from runaway hyperinflation. And our leaders now have injected $8.5 trillion of new money into the U.S. economy. Now, the rest of you people around the world, you've got the same thing going on in your country as well as ours. But here in the United States, $8.5 trillion in 13 weeks. Never before has anything like this occurred. We have just plain gone stark raving mad over here in the United States. And those of us that have been sitting here on the sidelines watching this insanity unfold are really taken aback by the average Joe Sixpack on the street who is totally ignorant, absolutely hadn't got a clue as to what the hell's going on here. And so, you know, you're talking down here at the coffee clutch, you know, and they say, well, God, we've got to get more money out there in circulation, stir this economy up over here to prevent this deflation. This deflation that you're looking at right now isn't really deflation. It's what appears to be deflation, but it's not. The value of your house is going down, and the and the value of your stock market going down over here. They call that deflation. Deflation is or depression is the loss of your living standard. When the price of gasoline goes from $4 down to $2, that doesn't impact upon your living standard negatively. That's positive. Positive. That's better for you. You could eat more butter now. See? But you know, people are just terrified of this thing called deflation. I personally prefer more deflation, but we're not going to get that. So rest assured now, that ain't going to happen. Helicopter Ben now, he's out here putting $8.5 trillion worth of new money into circulation. And it takes about 12 to 18 months for that to hit the marketplace. And boy, when that 12 to 18 months is over, if we get this $8 trillion circulating, boy, that's going to give us some contango, I'll tell you. All right, now this is an article by James Turk. James Turk, now he's what we call a contrarian. He's a gold bug, a contrarian. And you don't hear anybody talking about gold and putting gold back into circulation as money for you and me. Now, the big boys are out here dealing in gold. But us little guys down here, we're totally excluded from the gold market. And 5% of the people in the United States of America hold and control and use 100% of the gold that's used here in this country. The other 95% of you out there don't have any gold. You don't know what the hell it is. Couldn't find it with both hands at high noon and a roadmap. But boy, it's going to impact upon you, whether you know it or not. Now, when God told us not to use unjust weights and balances, he wasn't just whistling Dixie through a straw hat. Now, he told you this is the way this game's got to be played. Now, when we played the game with gold and silver between 1787 and 1933, we became the wealthiest, most powerful nation in the world. Militarily, economically, and politically. And then we got off of gold in 1933, and from 33 until today, we've become the world's number one debtor nation. Now, we're still the world's number one military power, but we're slipping rapidly, very rapidly. Our economy is upside down. So, politically, we're bankrupt. Economically, we're bankrupt. And shortly, we're going to be militarily bankrupt. It takes money to buy all those tanks and guns and keep all those wars going, boys and girls. It costs a lot of money. So remember now, gold therefore contrasts to all other commodities because there's a huge above-ground stock of inventory that's available to come back into the market in exchange for national currencies if the price is right. Now, these shortages make it difficult, if not impossible, to arbitrage any backwardation that appears in these other commodities. If there were a huge above-ground inventory, one could sell their inventory today and buy it back in the future at a cheaper price, profiting from the difference. Did you catch that word, arbitrage? Oh, my God. Arbitrage, backwardation, contango. Huh. That's a foreign language if I ever heard one. So let's take a minute here and let's talk about arbitrage. Arbitrage is where the prices of a particular item change and you make a profit off of that price change. That's called arbitrage. Now let me give you a classic illustration. Right now as I speak, the price of silver is about $10 and some change and the price of gold is about $8,800 and some change. So if you divide 10 into 800, you get 80 to 1. Okay, so the price of gold is 80 times higher than the price of silver. And you're sitting there saying, duh, well, so what? Okay, very important. Now, very important now. Listen to this. Arbitrage. Let me spell it for you. It's A-R-B-I-T-R-A-G-E, arbitrage. So when you're using these fiat currencies, and we say that the price of gold is $800 an ounce, and the price of silver is $10 an ounce. Now, your creator told you not to do that, and you didn't listen. And that's why you're going to be out pounding the pavement looking for a job in 2009, because you didn't pay attention, Bob. When we send you to school, we buy you books, you eat the covers and don't learn nothing. And this comes from what we call the Ten Commandment model. Now, the Ten Commandment model is the opposite to the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto model, or the Babylonian Mystery Religion, or Zionism, or Catholicism, or Fascism. You know, we have all these labels that we hang on people's political and religious ideologies over here. But when we get down to bottom line, this Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto calls for the abolition of property as opposed to the establishment of property and property rights. Exact opposite. Ten Commandments call for property and property rights, and the Ten Planks call for the abolition of property rights. Ten Commandments call for tithing, and the Ten Planks call for an income tax. Ten Commandments calls for just weights and balances, and the Ten Planks call for a central bank like the Federal Reserve. You know, come on. Now, arbitrage over here is the difference that you pay for one commodity or another, and then you make a profit off of it when you sell it, when the prices change. Right, now watch what's going to happen here. The natural price of gold and silver is 17 to 1, not 80 to 1. How do I know that? Because there's 17 times more silver in the Earth's crust than gold. How do I know that? Got it from the National Mining Association. You know, there's people out there that look around. Pay attention. So if the price of gold is 80 times more expensive than silver, and it should be 17 to 1, not 80 to 1, and it should be 17 to 1 in the opposite direction. So We've got this thing backwards and upside down. And on top of that, we've got a shortage of physical gold and silver, and the price is going down. How do you explain that? It's called backwardation. There's manipulation going on by the powers that be. That's these bankers over here that you just gave $700 billion to, remember? The bankers? God love them. If you can't trust your banker, who can you trust, huh? Well, these bankers over here, they make their money off of inflation and paper. And you and I make our money off of property. I mean, we're the guys that actually go out and build houses. Then the banker, he just goes out and creates $100,000 and comes and buys the house. He produces nothing and consumes much. And he's absolutely indispensable. Well, that's what he's been telling us. Bankers don't build houses. And they consume a lot of houses, but they don't build any. Bankers eat a lot of food, good food too, but they don't produce any. None, zero, zilch. Bankers produce nothing and they consume much. And then they control these markets. And so watch what happens here. If you took 1 ounce of gold today, and you went over to the gold broker, assuming that he had any gold or silver to trade, but, you know, in theory, you take your ounce of gold over and you buy some silver. How much silver could you buy with 1 ounce of gold? And the answer is 80 ounces. Can you see that? You could get 80 ounces of gold for one, or excuse me, 80 ounces of silver for 1 ounce of gold. So let's try it. If you got a pen and paper there in front of you, I'm going to show you arbitrage here. I'm going to show you how to make a lot of money quick. Well, not quick, but once every 33 years, this thing goes back into balance. And when it does, then we make a profit, or an increase, as we say in the underground world. Now, you take your ounce of gold and you trade it for 80 ounces. Now you got 80 ounces of silver. Now, at some point in time, the price of silver and gold is going to reverse out. It's going to go to 16 to 1. The reason I use 16 is because it divides into 100 and 17 doesn't. So that's 16 to 1. All right, now watch this. Take 80, divide that by 16, and that's 5. Now, I take my 80 ounces of silver when the price of silver and the price of gold inverts and goes back to 16 to 1, which is its natural balance. And it does that once every 33 years, three times every century. It occurred in 1919, 1942, and 1980. And it's about to do it again in about the year 2009 or 10, something like that. All right, now I take my 80 ounces of silver and I trade it and I get 5 ounces of gold. Now, I started out with 1 ounce of gold, remember? Then I traded it for silver. Now I trade my silver for gold, and I get 5 ounces of gold. Now, how much profit did I make there? I had 1 ounce, and now I got 5 ounces. Can you see that? It's called a 500% increase. That's arbitrage. Arbitrage. And people do that. They do that with silver and gold, and they do it with wheat, corn, beans, honey, oil. You know, what you're trying to do here is you're trying to beat the market. Now, there's a natural balance that occurs out here in the real world. A natural balance in gold and silver is 16 to 1. And it's artificially now at 80 to 1. Just like there's a shortage of gold and silver and the price has gone down. That ain't natural. It's going on. It happens. We can view it and witness it, but taint normal. Taint natural. All right. So now we got contango, arbitrage, and backwardation. That's, underline this backwardation over here. All right, this is James Turk now. We're going to learn a lesson over here. This is why you're going to be unemployed in 2009. You want to know why you're out on the street, pounding the pavement, looking for a job in 2009? Here it comes. Now, these shortages make it difficult, if not impossible, to arbitrage any backwardation that appears in these other commodities. If there were a huge above-ground inventory, one could sell their inventory today and then buy it back in the future at a cheaper price, profiting from the difference. See? And that's what we're doing now. We're buying silver today at a low price, and we're going to sell it back into the marketplace when it goes back into balance, which it always does. So how can I predict what the future price of silver and gold is going to be? I don't know in dollars. But I do know that it's going to go back to 16 to 1. How do I know that? Because that's the natural balance built into the equation. I didn't make it that way, neither did you. But you ain't going to change it either. See how that works? This is called natural law. Natural law just works. See, you go up on top of the Empire State Building, and you step off into space. And you ask the question, am I going to fall to the right or to the left? And the answer is neither. You are going to fall down. Down. And you're going to fall at the rate of 32 feet a second, called terminal velocity. And how do I know that? Because that's natural law. It's the way it works. And it works that way in Moscow, Tokyo, and Singapore. Just exactly the same way. So it doesn't make any difference, boys and girls, where you're listening to this program. You can be in South Korea. It's going to work exactly the same in South Korea as it works here. So you stick with the Ten Commandment model and arbitrage, and backwardation and contango. And these are natural. I mean, they're just, that's the way it works. Now, you get in line here with natural law, you can't miss. Kind of reminds me of David. You know, he was an optimist. You know, King David was an optimist. He was out in the battle one time with a big guy. His name was Goliath. And all the Israelites looked at this big giant, and they said, oh, my God, the guy's 9'6". Who can do battle with Goliath? And they were really despondent. And David comes up, and he looks at Goliath, and he says, that guy is so big, I can't miss. It's all a matter of perspective, kids. The guy's so big, you can't miss. Now, gold's huge above-ground stock makes it different from other commodities. Backwardation in gold does not occur in practice because there are always people willing to profit by selling some of their hoard in the spot market and then buy back the gold at a lower price in the future, except the three rare instances noted above. All right, so I'm prepared today to trade my gold for silver. But hey, wait a minute. Would I want to give up my gold today in a futures contract for future delivery? Oh, wait a minute. Oh, no. And here's where the rub comes in. You see, a futures contract isn't physical gold in your hand. That's a piece of paper that says someday the COMEX is going to send you your gold. What in the hell makes you think the COMEX has got any gold to send you in the future? Which is evidenced by the fact that there's a shortage right now. So here they are on the one hand telling you that the price of gold is $800 an ounce, down $200 from its $1,000 high in March. But they want to sell you a futures contract, but they want to take possession of your gold or your silver today for a piece of paper that they're going to deliver it back to you with a profit in the future? Huh? You know, if we take leave of our senses, we just lost $40 trillion worldwide, $8.5 trillion in our stock market over the past year, and these clowns now are asking the gold bugs to give up their gold today. Why? Why do they need that physical gold today? Okay, let's learn another lesson here. 82% of all of the gold transactions that go on in the world right now today are going to happen in paper. 18% are going to actually occur in a physical transaction. Now, it's assuming that somebody can find somebody else with some physical gold that they want to sell for $800, which I can't find any out there. And that's why there's such a huge premium today. Go to eBay on the internet, and you'll see that gold is not selling on eBay for $800. It's selling for $1,000. And why is that? Because the people that have the physical gold over here aren't going to sell it for a piece of paper. That's why. They want a hell of a premium. And that's because there's a god-awful risk that we're not going to get anything for our paper. Backwardation says, in effect, that the fiat currency is suspect and that it's going to fail. Now, boys and girls, the dollar hasn't failed since the continental currency collapsed in 1783. So the collapse of a currency here in the United States is an old memory. You probably have never heard of that. The currency didn't collapse in 1933. This time, the currency is going to collapse. That's not deflation, that's hyperinflation. And so they're saying, well, what do you think the price of gold is going to go to? Well, it's going to go to infinity until the dollar runs its course. How much is the price of gold going to go up? I don't know, $1,000, $2,000, $5,000, $50,000 an ounce. If you take a look at the Weimar Republic in 1923, the price of gold was up in the billions of marks per ounce. And that's because the currency collapsed. The currency wasn't worth anything. So the profitability here, boys and girls, isn't measured in dollars or marks or escudos or rubles or rupees or anything else. It's measured in its purchasing power. How many ounces of silver can I get for my ounce of gold? Now, the correct answer is 17 to 1. Got that? But you people out there are going to measure this in dollars. And as you're measuring your wealth in dollars, you're going to get wiped out. That's why you're going to be unemployed next year, bub, because you're in dollar-denominated assets, and the dollar is going to collapse. How do I know that? Well, because Helicopter Ben is out here producing $8.5 trillion more of it. And President Barack Obama says he's going to produce a hell of a lot more than that. Boys and girls, the last thing you need to worry about is deflation. What you need to worry about is inflation. And the difference between inflation and deflation is whether or not you're going to eat. Because in Zimbabwe, they've got all kinds of money. There's no shortage of money in Zimbabwe, but there's a god-awful shortage of goods on the shelves. And that's because inflation drives all the goods off the shelf, because people that have money that's worth nothing want to get rid of it as fast as possible for anything in sight. So they buy everything off the shelves, and now the shelves are empty. And you can't restock the shelves because your money is valueless. So the Arabs aren't going to sell us any oil because they can't get anything in return. See where we're going? You're going to go to Walmart and see Walmart stores empty. Remember, you heard it first here. Remember, you have never walked into a Walmart store and seen it empty, but you're going to. You're going to walk into a Walmart store, and little by little, day by day, you're going to see whole shelves gone. And then there's about 100 items over here that disappear first. I covered that for you here not too long ago. I said, here's the 100 items that's going to disappear first off the shelves. Things like pepper and cinnamon are going to be non-existent and unavailable. And that 50% of the food that comes into the United States every year that we have to buy, remember, 50% of what you're buying out of your supermarket today comes from outside our borders. And that adds to what we call our balance of payments deficit. Oh, that's not good at all. Not good at all. Now, we got things called shortages coming up. Shortages come from hyperinflation. They don't come from deflation. Deflation in the 1930s, the shelves were full. You had a hard time coming up with money. And that's because money was valuable. Money had value. Today, your money has 2% of the value it had in 1930. And we're not arguing over the collapse of the dollar. Boys and girls, you've already lost 98% of the value of your dollar between 1930 and 2008. You've already lost 98%. Now, if that isn't collapse, you tell me what that is, would you? All you're arguing over today is the last 2 cents. The last 2 cents. Can you save the last 2 cents out of your dollar? Because that's all you're concerned about right now. And that's before the dollar collapses, which it is inevitably going to do. When? I don't know. I'm not a prophet. I'm not the powers that be. But when this $8 trillion hits the marketplace in 2009 and 10, then watch the shelves empty. Watch the shelves empty. Then watch the price of gasoline go to $4, $8, $12, $16, $32 a gallon. Last time I saw gasoline in Zimbabwe, $237,000 a gallon. And that was the good news. The bad news was there wasn't any gasoline out there to buy at $237,000 a gallon because the Arabs wouldn't sell them anything. Who in hell wants the Zimbabwe dollars? They weren't anything. How you like that? So now it reduces you down to hard currency, hard foreign exchange. And here in America, we're exporting $200 billion and we're importing $800 billion. That's a $600 billion a year deficit. And we're going on COD, COD. Boy, our living standards in this country are going to take a hit, and they're going to take a hit in 2009. Remember, you heard it first here. Now, I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings, and I'm not here to spoil your day, but I'm here to explain to you why. And the answer is backwardation. Now, I haven't finished my story yet. I'm out of time. I haven't finished my story. So we're going to come back next time, and we're going to read more about this thing called backwardation because it's going to affect all of us. Backwardation, contango, and arbitrage. You may be driving truck. You may be a housewife warming a bottle for your baby, but listen to me now. Backwardation, contango, and arbitrage are going to be three big words that are going to make the difference between whether you work next year or you don't work. How do you like that? And you probably can't even spell. All right, I'm about out of time here, kids, so I'm going to have to remind you again that you have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's eight schools in all. The Law School is a private, nonprofit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. Hey, time's up. We got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.